You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Jill Mattson. Jill is an accomplished artist, musician, lecturer, and author. She is a recording artist with numerous CDs using ancient and modern sound healing techniques. Her Deep Wave Beauty CD was a finalist for the COVR Specialty CD of 2012 Award. She has authored several sound healing books and lectures throughout the United States on the topic of sound, spirit, and matter. She draws on her extensive research of modern sound healing and 20-year study of antiquities and secret societies to show the incredible power and healing capabilities of sound. You can find out more about Jill and her work on her website at jillswingsoflight.com. So let's welcome her to the show now. Hi, Jill. How are you? Are you there, Jill? We just had you a second ago. Okay. We seem to have lost our guest at some point since the announcement, unless she comes back in.
Can you hear me?
Are you there? Were
yeah.
you off? Where'd you go? Were you in the clouds? I can't hear you now.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now. You just have to talk.
Okay. Man, that's quite an idea.
Yeah. Just if you have your radio on, don't listen to it. Turn it off because you talking to me on the phone is what's going to be broadcast live over the radio.
Okay, that sounds great. Well, it's exciting to be here. There's so much fun stuff to talk about.
Well, maybe I should just let you take over and decide what is the most fun thing that you would like to talk about.
Oh, my. Well, let me say this. In ancient societies, there was always mystics. The ancient Chinese, the Egyptians, Sumerians, Mayans, etc. And they all held a common view that everything in the world could be seen in terms of wave interaction, like, you know, two sound waves interacting. And like kind of like a periscope in a submarine where you can stick up this little tiny thing and see the whole big world above you. That's the way they viewed sound. You could look at sound, see how the waves interact, and then you could see how energy transferred between the same note and octave. And that would be your hermetic maxim, so as above, so below. And since energy could transfer between the same note, just higher or lower, that's a fact in science, then you could observe sound and influence your thoughts, your feelings, your physical body, and your spiritual nature, your relationships, I mean, everything. And ancient man did it. They even went a step further than music. They would look at the numbers underneath music, as if the universe, like the string theory, was right, and everything was strings and waves and frequencies, and you could count the cycles per second. And then these ancient people, they write about really significant clairvoyant skills. So they would then play some very, elaborate number matrices and see that certain sound patterns would light up your aura, and they would equate that with healing you physically, mentally, and emotionally. And so then they would start to gather different sound patterns and practices to elevate a human. And that's been forgotten, and it's coming back, because I'm bringing it back.
Well, good. Good. It sounds as if they knew quite a bit more about the aura and about the metaphysical aspects and sound and numerology and the rest of it than we are aware of today.
Yes, I believe they did. For example, astrology, which we know is ancient. In the Bible, you know, the wise men were astrologers from Sumeria and or Zoroastrian, one of the two. Anyway, in the very ancient times, astrology was not a curiosity, what type of personality are you and what's around the corner. Astrology was playing music to interact with waves that come from planets moving in space, which they do move in space, and you can calculate the frequency in physics. And there's satellites that pick it up as well, and you can buy like the frequencies of the day for $9.99. Anyway, what the ancient people did was that they would perform music whenever they had a challenge and undo it.
Huh.
Yeah, how about that? Instead of having a big-ass crisis, you sing a song.
Well, that would be a much better way to deal with life, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. Yes, it would. They use sound for your liver, for your organ, to be smarter, to go to sleep. And I've got this in my these practices in my ancient sound books. They used it to move rocks. They used sound to grow their gardens. They used it in warfare. They used it to build virtues, to rehabilitate criminals.
Wow. Wow, and we could be doing that today, really, couldn't we?
Yes, we could.
Yeah.
Think of it this way: there's biology, there's chemistry, and we understand these accepted sciences. And it's like chemistry or astronomy. When you look at the big picture, they get different math and different theories than the micro picture or quantum physics. And it's like everybody's got a different periscope to try to get into understanding, how everything works. Mm-hmm. And ancient man simply did it through waves. Everything's energy. Everything mm-hmm. has a wave which can be counted. And they interact according to scientific laws. And then they would use sound because two reasons. One is that they could study sound, and then they could see how sound works, and then they would assume, so as above, so below, the Hermetic maxim, that this would apply to brain waves, your tummy if it was sick or whatever.
Mm.
And they would use like a vibrational therapy. And I have another book, Secret Sounds, out, and that is showing the science of bioacoustics, where people today are showing everything in your body in terms of its cycle per second. And then you can listen to sounds and get the precise antidote that you need, or even ingest a vitamin or some type of nutrient that you need for healing. In my Deep White Beauty, I have vitamins, the frequencies associated with vitamins.
Yeah, wow, it's wonderful.
Yeah, it's so exciting to think that we've got this great big frontier of energy, like, hiding in front of us in the radio all along.
Well, it's good that somebody is bringing some of this out, because most people seem to be preoccupied with earning a living.
Yes, that's true. But if you think about it, Edgar Cayce, the great mystic, predicted that the world medical system in the future would be sound-based.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
there's already systems like that out there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I need to be careful about what I say here, but because the FDA would, carefully guard statements. But
right.
There's already systems out that take a look at your body in terms of harmonic and frequency and rhythm patterns and shows you what's out of whack, and then gives you restorative frequencies, harmonies, and rhythm patterns to allow your body to heal itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's already there. And, you know, I'm just saying that, you know, if we perfect that, it's much, I mean, think of it this way. Just think, instead of going to a drugstore, maybe you could just go online and download your song or your little sounds.
Right, right.
Yeah, how expensive is that?
Well, it would be a lot more reasonable and a lot more pleasant.
Yes, yes. Like, and the other thing about music is that it makes you feel. And my thought there, again, is that, and the same as with the ancient sages, is that your emotions are, there are certain cycles per second. Yes, we don't measure them. But if I feel anger and you feel anger, we both know what it is. It's the exact same thing because it is the same frequency. And we already know some of the associations. I was green with envy. Oh, I feel blue. You know, I'm red with anger. And you can even look at, of course, colors at cycles per second. Mm. And so each emotion has a transference to a brainwave through octave resonance. Just science. That's fact. And it would also transfer to a part in your body. That's why, like, if you worry, a negative emotion, it's the same frequency as, let's say, the lining in your tummy. So that if you worry a lot through resonance or energy transfer, simple science, that negative energy in your emotional field and your thoughts eventually start to build up in the lining of your stomach and you get an ulcer.
Oh, right, right.
It's the same thing. And what I'm saying is you can use it for good.
Right.
Yeah, like my Deep Way Beauty, I'm tightening muscles. There's frequencies associated with vitamins. I have another set where I'm using the frequencies of positive emotions and creating emotional habits, which is nothing by, like, if you want to be patient, you just need to be patient a whole bunch of times. And then it's a habit.
Right,
but it's hard
right.
to use your willpower. But it's a cycle per second. So I have, like, these healing flower symphonies, and they have the frequencies associated with certain emotions and also with the flower remedies. And so we're building the positive emotion. And then I learned from the Greeks, the ancient classical Greeks, Pythagoras and Socrates and so forth, that you need to pull out your negative stuff. It's kind of like, you know, you can fill with light and meditation and beautiful things, but if you've had a lot of negative in your history, like, you know, all of us, you have to get that out. And their way to get it out was to, like, feel it, vibrate it loose, and then let it go. And again, you can do that with sound. And I have cathartic release in these. So it's just this wonderful new modality. And then I have two other CDs that I've taken, Ancient Practices for Spiritual Evolution. And two were the most popular. And they would man would view nature as God's handiwork. Mm-hmm. And it's about as close to God they're going to, like, physically get. You know, a sunset, a beautiful tree, a flower. And so they would, their idea of science was different than ours. They would simply observe the shapes, the geometries. That's the origin of sacred geometry, shapes in nature. So they would take a look at these shapes, and then they would take the mathematics underneath to make the shapes and convert it to sound. So prior to 300 years ago, the Earth always listened to, in their musical scales, the equivalent of the spiral in a galaxy or in a seashell. And they were tuning to Earth, and it's just a very uplifting, it just takes you to a beautiful space. Mm. And that's called the Fibonacci, and I've got that in my Paint Your Soul. And a little different idea in the Stardust, another way that ancient man raise their consciousness, and they would say that's your improving your thinking, going to a better emotional state and being healthier. That is what they would call consciousness. And another one of their techniques was to tune to the heavens, and that they had the right frequencies for a planet in motion, because any planet in orbit makes a wave. We may not hear it if it's below our hearing range, but it's still making a wave. And that's what I would call astrology, because those waves come in to Earth, and you can buy them off from the satellites. They'll tell you what frequencies come in each day. And so the ancient people would listen to the sounds of the planets in their orbits, like they're tuning to the heaven. And their thought was that they were like also harmonizing with astrology, so that when challenges came in, they were in a real comfortable position to sail right through a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, when I start a CD, I have the frequencies of the planets and their orbits and tuning forks. And then I put in frequencies associated with carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, and nitrogen. And that's the UR Stardust theme, because those are the elements in our bodies and in the stars.
Wow. Well, the music on Stardust is quite lovely. You can hear it on the on your site. And you have samples of the music, so people can actually go there and listen to the different tracks and see how they resonate with it. And that's a wonderful thing.
Yes, and I give away a half hour of free music, and just for a period of several weeks, I'm giving away one of my books as a download in exchange for someone doing a review on Amazon.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So the book is Ancient Sounds on the giveaway. And you sign up for the free MP3s, and you'll get those and then the book. And what I've done in the book is treat sound like the cure-all modality, like how to use sound for a headache, or how to use sound to go to sleep, to wake up, to get smart, you know, for emotions, for this, for that. Kind of how to start viewing energy as waves and cycles per second and taking charge.
It sounds really interesting.
Now, I'm excited about it. I think it's just fabulous that you can do everything with sound. And it's an inexpensive, accurate medium.
Yeah. Well, that is... that just seems like such a simple solution to things, and it's time we found simple solutions to things, you know? And these are things that have been used way back in ancient times, as you said. Socrates mm-hmm. and Plato and the rest, they were pretty wise folks. They're still considered pretty much unbeatable for their information, and we're still drawing on that information.
And what's really kind of piques my interest is many of the same techniques are also with Lao Tzu, and they're with the ancient Egyptians. And mm-hmm. you see it with the Hindu Nada Brahmins. And then you can go to the American Indians and see it. I mean, it's like people in the globe somehow or other were aware of the power of music, and they also look to the numbers underneath.
Mm-hmm.
You can count a rhythm pattern. You can count the cycles per second. And in a harmonic, is, I don't believe they would have had the sophisticated math, but harmonics, which would be like an after ripple, which is why a trumpet sounds different than the violin, even though they play the same note.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the energy is dispersed a little different in that note, but it's math.
Mm.
And very predictable.
Wow. Well, if it was math, it could almost be done by artificial intelligence. We could buy a huge computer.
Yes, it could. Yes, it could. In fact, you can go to the site of Sherry Edwards, who brought forth the science of bioacoustics, at nanovoice.org, and download a free software program. And if I had to buy like a $20 microphone to get mine to work, and it doesn't work on Mac, sorry, but anyway, when you download her free software, you can break your voice into component pitches, and your body's holographic, and your vocal cords are right in the middle of your central nervous system, like the internet of your body. And so you can take a fairly kind of a step down, easy look at all the frequencies in your body.
That's interesting.
There's a free software program doing it right now.
Wow. But you can't do, but it doesn't work on an iMac?
No, it doesn't.
I have an iMac. Of course. Of course I wouldn't
just
be able
to. Say that
do it.
Because I, you know, people get excited and they go there and then they learn it. They don't have to.
Well, we have what we have.
Yeah.
So apparently it isn't meant to be for me, but it sounds like it'd be a lot of fun to do.
Yeah, and then you can associate, like I have another CD out in which I associate things in your body. See, energy transfers between the same frequency or octave, which is the same note, higher or lower, bump, bump, same note. And that's scientific fact. So you can take, like, colored light, take it down octaves, and see what musical note it correlates to. You can take it down further and correlate it to emotions, and we find that in our language, as I said before. You know, I feel blue today. Blue correlates with depression, one of the things. Anyway, so you can take it down and correlate it to your brain waves. You can correlate it to various items in your body that are the same frequency. And so in the CD, I do all those kind of correlations, and then I match it with the angelic and master realm, you know, like the Archangel Michael's blue, Archangel Raphael's green, you know, Jesus is associated with yellow, Buddha with green, Saint Germain with violet. And so what I'm suggesting is it's kind of like after you ascend, it's like you get your degree in the rainbow or mastery of all the motions, all the thoughts, the physicality of all the colors. Mm. And so you're kind of like a master of white light. And then in an analogy, let's say you go on and get your master's, maybe you master in violet and you become Saint Germain.
Mm.
And he's mastering in transformation and purity. You know, whereas Jesus would master in wisdom, and a Buddha would master in matters of the heart and dealing with sorrow and suffering, et cetera, et cetera. And so anyway, I just have this set of meditations to contact angels and masters and guides through sounds and to select who's going to have the greatest expertise, frequency, ampage to for a very specific purpose. So like if you have this illness, it might be good to call this angel.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, to resonate with their healing colors, with their healing energy.
Mm-hmm. And that one is your, that is the Contacting Angels and Masters CD, right?
Right. Right.
You have quite a few interesting ones here. Deep Wave Beauty, Paint Your Soul, Cosmic Streams. They all look really fascinating.
Thank you.
Healing
and you know,
symphonies.
Again, I'm excited and honored to be the, like the pastor, the information has been given to me, so I just kind of give it on. And it's, I get so excited about it. It's great that we could put this music and loop it in the background, listen it to it all night, because it's like you absorb it drop by drop.
Yeah.
You need a lot of drops. So why would we not put really beautiful music on that's going to do really good things for us? Why would we let that go?
Right. It does make sense. Well, now, how did you get started into the field of sound healing?
Kind of hard, because when I started, there really wasn't hardly anybody
been a lot
into
of people.
It.
Right.
I was a musician when I was a little girl, so I'm always passionate about music, and I'm a geek. And anyway, probably, I don't know, 25, 30 years ago, I was really into fairly strict Christian and believed in the Bible as the Word of God. And then I decided to write an autobiography of God, pretending I was God. And I started going through the Old Testament. And wow, I mean, holy cow, I mean, God had some issues.
No kidding.
And it was like, wait a minute, I didn't think God had issues.
Right.
And so it made me change my way of seeing the world. I finally came to an epiphany, which was, my God is only going to be that of love.
Yeah.
And if I can find a way to make it greater than that, I will. I'll change up. You know, I'm not going to be steadfast. I'm going to grow with this. But if someone tells me anything to do with God has to do with hatred, I don't buy that.
Right.
And
absolutely
so
right.
I made that shift, and I became very psychic on a dime. It's like I let go of my judgment and dogma, and I just like opened up, and I started, but I still had a hard time just dropping a whole year working on this biography just so I could change my mind. I felt kind of silly. And so I decided, well, maybe there's another Bible. And I went into, there's the Serpentine, and then I got to the Kabbalah, the mystic side of Judaism, which led me into the Sumerian and the Zoroastrian, and then shortly into the Egyptian, and then to the Chinese and the Hindus. And I just started going around the globe.
Wow.
And they're all doing this. And they all had, how to put this, they all believed... Well, whether it's true or not isn't important. They all believed that Atlantis sunk due to the misuse of sound. And they were very guarded, and they hid sound secrets because sound's kind of a powerhouse.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking about using it for benefits, but sound can be used for as a weapon.
Right, right.
And so people were misusing it. And so they kept their sound secrets because they didn't want anybody controlling the masses.
Right.
Because you could, for example, put out signals to make people get into a certain brainwave.
And that's happening today.
So they hid these secrets. But they, and in order usually to be a mystery school, like to be a disciple of Lao Tzu or Jesus or Buddha or something, you had to have... morality. And they, you know, it's like if you were a jerk, they're not going to tell their secrets to you.
Right.
And then they would pass them down orally. But when they had their written material, they all, how to put it, like just imagine you have a school and you can't tell all your secrets that you're going to teach, but you might put out like a trailer in a movie, just some really nice, good little
Yeah.
You know, like the trailer in the movie has the funniest parts. So
right.
They put out a few little things about sound, maybe to dangle it in front of you. And when you start going through them all, it's almost like each one was working on a different aspect of music. And I'm just starting to pull that together and to understand what they've done because, you know, I don't have access to the oral tradition. But everybody's leaving out a secret or two, and there's a lot of mystic schools throughout the ages across the globe. And that's what I've done, and that's how I got into this. And then I started to use it in my music because I'm a composer, and you can do it in the key signature, the rhythm. You can retune. You can do it in the interval patterns, all kinds of ways to use sound. And then also I put... some of the frequency patterns I have made into tuning forks to ensure they're accurate. And then it just sounds a little bit in the music like wind chimes in the background. It's very pretty. And it's very healing.
Now, are there any particular instruments that you find are more conducive to healing and vibration? For instance, I went to a store in Mount Shasta that has all kinds of Tibetan singing bowls and handmade ones, and there are some crafted from crystals and tuning forks and things like that. Do you have any particular favorites that you use?
In ancient times, they would, first of all, let's say this. When you're going from instrument to instrument to instrument, the healing modality is pitch, but more appropriately harmonics. And a harmonic is like an after ripple. Think of being on a little bridge and you drop a rock in the ground, and the root note is, in this analogy, is dropping that rock in the water. But then after it goes down, you see these circles of ripples going out. So in our analogy, the root note would be the rock, but the after ripples would be the rings around the rock. And if you go into a church that has really good acoustics, you can hear the echo, and it goes up in pitch, and it goes up by the mathematical formula. It's very precise. And that's called harmonics. And within your body, like if you look at the Krebs cycle of digestion and put, it's a mathematical formula, a chemical formula. Just think of, you know, H2 plus this plus that, you know, and some big long formula for, you can look it up under PubMed on the internet. And then if you put in the frequencies associated with each biochemical, you see it's a mathematical formula that works with waves. And furthermore, it's one big harmonic ripple. It fits the harmonic cycle. And so what I'm saying is that sound's an integral part of health. And with that sound comes a sound and then an after ripple. And your body uses that after ripple in its body processes. And so when you absorb sound, that's another fact. It's subtle. It's small. You have to do it a lot. But nonetheless, you absorb sound. So when you play that Tibetan bowl, and its harmonics are going to vary depending on primarily what it's made of, those other factors. And each thing that it's made of has a different harmonic pattern. And your body, when it needs something, it can take more of that sound. And you know this in your everyday life. I'm just thinking of being in fourth grade, and the teacher's up there talking about something boring, and the gossip's going on to the girl next to me. Man, I can tune that teacher right down. And tune that gossip up. And we have the ability of focus and intention. And the vibrations, literally, we can tune them up or down. And so when your body hears that Tibetan bowl or this instrument or that instrument, it can, it's like, think of it as being a smorgasbord, and then it can pick out selected frequencies that it needs for harmony, healing, health. So it's, that's why people love the sounds of those instruments in that store, because they have beautiful harmonic cycles that is a wonderful gift for your body to listen to. And likewise, for certain illnesses, perhaps the sound of an oboe, or for another problem, maybe you need the rhythmic beat of a drum. I mean, there's a lot of tools to play around with in music.
So, in a sense, some people can even get into sound diagnostics, that is determining what the problem is, and then matching that to the vibration that is most effective in healing that particular part. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, it is. I think so.
I wonder if they use these techniques in Atlantis and Lemuria.
Well, I do know, according to lore that I've read coming out of Central America and the Americas, that they would use sound for rehabilitation. For example, let's say someone did something terrible. Rather than throw them in jail, they would sing to them. And they would come up with different, they'd make sacred geometry in their singing, where the singers stood. And with certain instruments and sounds, they would sing, and they would basically alter that person's fields so he would never, ever want to stoop so low. They also talk about using intuition or telepathy, and intuiting what your plants need, and providing sounds to grow your garden. Now, I know Rudolf Steiner is kind of like a theosophist from the early 1900s. I think he has, what is it called, quantum agriculture? Mm. Anyway, it's a big group that sells broadcasts to improve your crop growth.
Mm.
And, you know, you can get a broadcast for a weed, and so you're not using pesticides.
Mm, nice.
There's a man called Dan Carlson from Sonic Bloom, and he noted that plants absorb nutrients really good at sunrise and kind of crummy the rest of the day. So he was trying to figure, how did the plant know it was sunrise? And he experimented with bird chirps at sunrise. And he now sells plant for food and music, bird chirps. And he's getting like 200, 250% plant growth.
Wow. That's quite a jump in percentages.
And then there's another man doing it too. His name is Joel Sternheimer. He's French, went to Princeton, I believe. Anyway, what he's done is under a microscope, he looks at the amino acids or the building blocks of plants, and they look like jellyfish, like they're breathing in and out.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you can measure the vibration and come up with the frequency, and so he can come up with the pitches of the amino acids in plants, the building blocks. And what's really kind of cool is some of them are songs. Like, he had one plant whose amino acids played "O Solo Mio." Anyway, I mean, did people intuit this from the plants or what? So anyway, he's also been getting 200-250% plant growth by playing amino acid songs to the plants.
Wow, that's really spectacular. And I bet it works great on pizza.
Yeah. Well, then the ancient Hindus, while we're at it,
they
have songs to make their milk sweeter and their bread sweeter and so forth.
Oh, nice.
So the ancient people were using just sound in a variety of really kind of exciting applications.
No kidding. And I imagine that would extend to having children. When you're making love, that they probably had some kind of sound that they played that would create a really beautiful, intelligent, and creative child.
Wow, now there's an idea.
Yeah. Now you heard
cool
it first
idea,
here,
Lance.
Folks, from Zany Mystic.
Cool idea, Lance. That's great.
So now,
I want one of those CDs.
Well, you're the one that makes them, so you could start a whole new branch of your CD collections based on making love while you listen to these different to different sounds. And they would all include the highest levels of intuition and beauty and, you know, art and intelligence and integrity.
Yeah.
Let's
throw
that in there, too. So, yeah, we could use something like that.
Yeah. So it's just very exciting. I'm working on a CD now. It should be out maybe in 6 weeks or so. It's just a dream I had. It was a memory from an ancient healing technique, and it was that children would play with toys, and the toys would be the shape of your organs. This is my dream.
Mm.
And so they would, you know how to put it this way, you see some of those Hindi yogi and they can control their heartbeat or different things that are automatic in our body, they've regained control. And in this manner, in my dream, the children were learning to connect like that with their heart, just like the yogis, but with every other organ in their body. So that they knew what it felt like, you know, you could kind of check in and make sure it was harmonious and happy and healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And when not happy and healthy, you would kind of focus on it, sing it, and bring it back in tune. And I'm wrapping up a CD, in essence, doing that, because an organ's going to have a composite frequency. And then, you know, you can put in the harmonic cascades, the ripple patterns that I talked about that are healing in the Tibetan bowls. You can put them right in. And then I put in the ancient Chinese elemental tuning and the Schumann frequencies that are associated with heal. I put in all kinds of stuff. And it's kind of like trying to master your body and commune and communicate and send love and harmony and alter what's going on inside. Bring it up. Lighten up.
That sounds good. Do you know what that will be called yet? Have you named it?
No, I haven't named it yet, but it'll be my only one coming out in about 6 weeks.
Okay. Well, that'll be interesting.
Got any ideas?
Well,
I'd love ideas first.
I'd have to hear a little bit of it first.
Okay. It's going to be a meditation, and then I'm going to provide in the background the sounds, you know, like, you know, this is what your spleen sounds like. And so I have not only the frequencies associated, but I was able to get some people to tape actual, like if you could, I don't know, if you could be an inch and be inside your body and you're outside your spleen, you know, what are the sounds of a healthy body?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of taping.
Right.
Because right. You ingest that as well. You ingest sounds.
Right.
So anyway, I have all kinds of stuff in there. So anyway, I think that's kind of fun and exciting.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, and then my music, I just feel like it's a gift. Sometimes I hear it and I just play it down with big cosmic plagiarism or something. But and sometimes I think I'm writing it, and then afterwards I'll find like numeric patterns that I didn't put in, well, I didn't consciously put in there. And so I believe that most musicians are influenced, helped, given gifts for mankind. If you look at the research, for example, on Beethoven in the Renaissance, there were no charities on record in Europe prior to Beethoven and his music. I mean, man, I listen to Moonlight Sonata, and like I'm ready to kill myself. I'm just so full of pathos. I mean, it's like so. I just feel the depth and the pain in his soul.
Yeah, yeah,
and
definitely.
I come out so much more compassionate at the end. And after Beethoven, charities spring up. After. So it's almost like, you know, a music, which I believe, again, as I said before, I think many musicians are influenced, like I know I am, and that, so it's like humanity gets a gift, you know. We need to be more charitable. In comes a musician. If we like the music, then those who listen start to become a little bit more charitable. Robert Schumann did a lot of pieces about the beauties of a child. And in his day, you know, you beat the kid if he spoke up when he wasn't supposed to. that was like not spare the rod and spoil the child.
Right.
But it was Robert Schumann that brought in the love and the compassion for the children. And the role of the children changed after his music.
Wow.
And I could just go on and on.
Interesting. I did not know that. Now, what about Bach?
Bach was really cool. Several things. I'm going to talk about the Phi second, but his music was very pointed. It was mathematical. It was symmetrical. It would have many complex number patterns running all at once in the harmonies, in the rhythms. Fabulous intellectual material in music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And notice that he was in Germany, and the big showing, not all certainly, but a large number of the classical composers were also from Germany after Bach.
Mm-hmm.
So he's bringing in this expanding of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that he did was, remember I told you about the ancient man would look at the geometries under, let's say, the spiral in the seashell, and they'd commit it to numbers and then cycles per second, and then they'd listen to it. That would make it a scale, so it would be their music. So they were always tuning to be one with Earth. And during the height of the Egyptian mysteries, paganism, Druid, all of the competition for the Catholic Church, they were all into that same mathematic pattern. And in that mathematic pattern is this irrational number 5, P-H-I. And it's where things branch. And I really don't have time here to go into the big mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a free book that does it called interference.com if you go there. But anyway, they all valued phi. And like if you look at Dan Brown's Da Vinci Code, you know, you saw with those mystery schools the five-pointed star, which is nothing but a phi machine. It's like a big tool of Mother Nature.
Uh-huh.
And the Catholic Church made phi illegal.
Oh,
and
really?
It's right in their yes. Well, you know, they were kind of establishing their own religion, and they were trying to set it apart and make theirs very pious. And the other thing about phi is it's like a tension waiting to be concluded. It gives you kind of like an urgency to get something done right now. And anyway, they banned it.
Huh.
Forcibly banned it. And so during the Dark Ages, you know, and the early Middle Ages, the world is in Europe is phi-less. There's none of these nature patterns. And what happened in Germany was that Martin Luther came in and wrote these scathing pamphlets and talks about the Catholic Church, and he broke the back of their control. They controlled the music.
Wow.
So with the introduction of Martin Luther, the church rules were gone. And phi, and by the way, in the churches, to have compassion for them, the Egyptians, every culture controlled the music. The Catholic Church did what all their predecessors did, for good or bad. Anyway, so with Martin Luther allowing musicians to create what they want, Bach is a phi master. He like has, think of it, if you were to translate his music to drawings, it's five-pointed stars and sacred geometry all over the place.
Mm.
So he's doing rampant patterns of phi. He even has a code where they would put like the alphabet on a piano key. You know, just think writing, getting a magic marker and writing A, B, C on the piano keys. He even encodes names, and, you know, he's got his name in some of them in, I don't know, 14, 15 times.
Hmm.
And then he encodes his name in the rhythm patterns. I mean, he was unbelievably brilliant. Yeah, I think he's imparting intellectual capacities, my opinion.
Yes, it's very beautiful music.
Yes. And he does it with such beauty, you know. There you go again, the theme of having a gift and, you know, like, I guess that's it, with a spoonful of sugar to make the medicine go down?
Right. Well, it's so precise and so cosmic and so, it's as if you couldn't change one note. Because that would throw the whole thing off. But it just always feels cosmic to me, Bach does. And I always see the universe and galaxies and large systems, you know, in precision. And I just love Bach.
Yeah. Well, you know, the galaxies, if you look at them, they're, if you look at their, like the ancient man would look at a plant, they contain the geometries of phi. They contain many of the musical translations or constructions that Bach used.
Well, I suppose they all have a music of their own, too, the music of the spheres, right?
Right, right. And then, the music of the spheres was a term coined by the Greeks, and the idea was that the universe is a big, like the string theory, you know, it's a big vibrating, energetic body, and that it's controlled by music, and underneath the music are numbers. Mm-hmm. Pythagoras would say all is numbers. Mm-hmm. And if you want to learn about the whole world and everything, the theory of everything, here's your numbers and here's your music.
Wow. Well,
that was the ancient idea.
Well, we are almost at the end of the hour, and I just wanted to make sure that you had a moment to share any last thoughts that you might have with the audience, the listeners, and to share your website and where they can find your writings and videos and everything else, your paintings. You do paintings as well. So before we have to sign off, I'll give you that opportunity to let us know where we can find you.
Thank you, Lance. Thank you. Well, I would just say this. Your body releases endorphins when you're listening to what it wants. So if you really love a piece of music, my gosh, get it and listen to it, and listen to it over and over and over. And if you get sick of it, then be grateful because it's done its work. And I would suggest that you go to jillswingsoflight.com and have a half-hour music, a free book giveaway for just a couple weeks in exchange for a review on Amazon. And I have lots of videos, articles, and really exciting stuff. And the ancient masters used to perceive sound and music to be the most powerful modality, far easier to change things within with music than by your own willpower. And it was a tool that our predecessors used. So, gosh darn, why shouldn't we? Let the music bless you.
Absolutely. Well, Jill, I want to thank you for being on the show tonight. Mm-hmm. And I learned a lot, and I enjoy talking to you, and I think everybody should check out your website. And I'm playing one of your songs, Stardust, one of your CDs, Stardust, in the background now as we wind down. So thank you for coming on tonight and sharing your wisdom and your excitement and joy with us. And I look forward to hearing some of your music.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Good night, Jill, and good night, everybody.
Good night.